We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back to OMF. Wardway off today, so it's just Maloney and Fourier. Time now for a conversation with Mike Lombardi. It's sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? And by Quip. Go to getquip.com and get your first refill pack for free. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is Mike Lombardi. Mike, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys? How are we doing?
Well, it's been kind so slow here. There, huh? So quiet. Yeah. It's Cincinnati week. We needed a big story.
All right. Yeah, so what does 8 minutes of videotaping a sideline actually do for a team? What do you make of this whole videotaping incident last Sunday?
You know, I think it's a complete non-story. I mean, look, there's helmet to radio communication. Anything you could see at that, I think it was exactly what they released and said that they made a mistake. This has nothing to do with football. There's nothing to do with football in this. This is everything to do with the production team, craft production, and those guys probably making a mistake. But filming that and thinking they're showing it to the football team, completely non-story for
me. Yeah, you know, and I think that part of it, I think universally people kind of get, but at the same time, it doesn't really matter what the intent was. The fact is that a New England Patriot employee, either, you know, freelancer, doesn't even matter, was pointing a camera at a sideline. So they're guilty of that, right? So at least they're guilty of that, whether it's warranted or not. It doesn't matter at this point in time based on their reputation. And I think that's where the biggest problem is. Their reputation is what it is. So they're forced to deal with these circumstances that really are just, like giving a whale a tic-tac. It's like nothing.
Well, I mean, that's what happened with the Deflategate. There was nothing there. But yet, you know, everybody used the circumstances to say that the first-round pick fined, you know, Brady suspended. I mean, you know, every time you keep doing this because you think something else happened, I think it's completely wrong. Each case is separate. This has nothing to do with the football operation, just like Deflategate. I mean, how many balls were actually deflated that turned out to not to be true? Go back and do that story.
Yeah, but you know, Mike, what do you think
you
about
compare the facts on the Irishman and see what's really true in that movie? Why don't we go back and compare Deflategate and see what's not true?
Wait,
in
are
that?
You telling me those aren't real situations? I felt like I took a 3-hour history class watching that show.
Well, I mean, according to a lot of people, they say, I mean, Dan Muldina, if you read any of his books, he's completely anti-believes none of that happened that we watched. I mean, I invested 3 hours in it, too. Mm.
Well, so the other thing I was going to bring up is, you know, when Roger Goodell is at the owners' meetings this week, and he says, hey, listen, past punishments we're going to take into account those issues when it comes to punishing the Patriots. So there is going to be some sort of fine or suspension. Do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the Patriots have been pretty transparent about saying they made a mistake that somebody filmed the sideline. I mean, they got a credential. They were allowed to bring a video camera in there. And whoever was doing it was wrong, and whoever was in charge of him doing whatever was wrong. So there was something that was done. But to link A to B equals C, to link it back to the football department, is really a stretch, and it's really unfair.
You know, the only thing, Mike, I was talking about was that scout, because I'm guessing that within that organization, the scouts are well aware of what they can and can't do. And if at any point he looked up and saw a video, I mean, he never passed that along to anybody, say, hey, listen, it's going to be my ass if you guys film that sideline. Don't do it.
You know, I would think that there would be some recognition of that. I don't know, although I don't know the mechanics of it all. You know, I didn't know, you know, I'm sure, did he know that Crash Production was doing a story on? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know all the details of it, but I do know that what they could possibly film, you could watch the TV version of the game and get as much of that, and most teams do anyway.
Yeah, to me, that part doesn't matter. We've all kind of realized that it just doesn't matter, and we all know that nobody's doing hand signals. It's not happening. Go back and watch the tape. It doesn't matter. It's the optics of it. It's the fact that it's the Patriots. It's the reputation. It's the suspicious nature of their organization. So I guess in the end, what do you think is going to happen to them? It's not going to just be a slap on the wrist.
Well, I mean, what are they guilty of? I mean, you know,
filming,
I mean,
another team sideline. That's what they're guilty of. Like, if you, we can sit there and debate it. Well, we've been doing it all week, Mike, but the facts are the facts. And you can, you know, you can draw any conclusion you want, but they're guilty of filming another team, even though they didn't do it. But they're still going to be fined for it.
Well, I'm sure that's, you know, that comes. I'm not denying that that's not the case. I think that they've already admitted that they shouldn't have.
I know. So, what do you think will happen to them? What do you think the league will do?
I have no idea, because this is separate than football. This is really about Kraft Productions. This isn't anything to do with football. It doesn't. It has nothing to do with football.
But they're not looking at it that way.
Yeah, I know.
They're not looking at it that way.
They need to look at it that way, because it doesn't. I mean, they've already you know, the greatest player of all time has suspended him 4 games for no real reason, and they've done that once.
See, I was saying the same
thing they want.
To me, I think it should be a slap on the wrist. I actually don't think they should fine him at all. If you want,
either,
you know,
but
they're not going to.
Well, you know, I mean, to me, well, you do, you know, I mean, look, it's a kangaroo court, so however it works, you know, we've seen it once with the flake gate.
All right, we're talking to Mike Lombardi. Mike, let me ask you about this team. They got 3 weeks to go. Can this offense make you feel better about them in the next 3 weeks going into the postseason?
Well, I think certainly they've got a lot of room for improvement. I mean, we've got to get better in the offensive line. I mean, Lino, that was probably one of the worst offensive line performances I've seen by the Patriots in quite some time. Against a defensive line that I wouldn't say was stellar. I mean, you know, they did a great job of putting Chris Jones over Ferentz, you know, and that created a matchup. And they, you know, and I think that Frank Clark played the best game of the year for the Chiefs, and Isaiah Wynn probably played his worst game as a Patriot. So there's a lot of work to be done with that offensive line. I think that's really where it starts. I mean, when you can't even get time to throw the football against at home, it's concerning. And I think until they fix that problem, all the other problems aren't going to go away. And in spite of all this, you know, they had a chance to be in the game at the end and had a chance to win the game at the end.
Yeah, so I think that's what I keep, resting on is the fact that in all these situations, even with Baltimore for a while until the very end, they were in every one of these games. Actually, Houston kind of ran away with it. No, but yeah, they came back in Houston also. But every single game, they've been in it. But my biggest issue is that they just can't finish drives. They can't put the ball in the end zone. Field goals, whatever, who cares? But when they need a touchdown, they can't do it. So I look at the roster, I look at the offensive roster, I'm like, okay, double Edelman, okay, James White, whatever, N'Keal Harry. At this point in time, wouldn't you just stand over there and be big? What do you want me to do around? Just be an athlete, I'm just going to throw it.
I think he tried to do it last week. He just didn't get called a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think he's got to play big. I think Mohamed Sanu's got to know what to do and play big. I think there's no doubt. I think the one thing I think everybody needs to play better, I think from coaches to players to everybody. I mean, this isn't just the one person's got to play better and we're going to be fine. You know, everybody else, get your feet up on the couch. We'll just take care of this guy. He plays better. We're good. Everybody has to play a lot better. Wynn's got to play better. The offensive line, the coaches, everybody. I think this is a total team effort in terms of getting a turnaround. And it's not going to get turned around in 1 hour, in 1 day, in 1 quarter. It's going to be a process. And I think it's the next 4 weeks you've got to get better. And I think part of the issue really more than anything is right now they have no identity. You know, they can't really run the football effectively, and they can't throw it effectively. So they have nothing they can hang their hat on that you can go into the game and say, if you make them play left end, you know, right now Brady's at an all-time low in yards per attempt going back to 2004. Can't make explosive plays. You want to know why you can't score points? You can't make 20-yard plays. When you can't make 20-yard plays, you don't have ability to get the ball into the end zone.
Have you heard anything about Josh McDaniels or Nick Caserio with that Atlanta job?
I haven't heard. You know, I mean, Josh interviewed for the Atlanta job, but before Dan Quinn got it. You know, and I don't know how Nick could possibly be involved in that one because. I think that when, you know, they haven't fired anybody in Atlanta. They still have a general manager down there.
No, so. That's right. No, I mean, Nick would be Houston or possibly Dallas.
You know, I haven't heard any of that. Well, no, Dallas isn't going to hire anybody in personnel. I mean, Jerry's the general manager. He's got that taken care of. You know, I mean, that's been the case there. He's been, as he's told everybody, he's the general manager. So I don't know. And they have, and look, they do a good job in personnel. I think when you break down the Cowboys, and you look at their team, they do a good job. Their personnel department does an excellent job of finding players, developing players, getting guys in there. They're pretty good. You know, now do they do a good job of bring out the best in the players? I would say probably not. But look, in this century, the Cowboys are 159-158. I mean, they're slightly, they are just 11 games over 500 since 2000, and they haven't been to any Super Bowls. So there's a reason for that.
You know, I'm starting to wonder if, like, coaches in this league are like, you know, presidential candidates. We can't find one with, like, half a brain. Because every single year it feels like there's, like, just 10 new jobs opening up. They don't know who to hire. They bring guys in, whether they're impatient with them or not. And there'll be 10 new firings again this year, probably. I mean, it's just every year there seems to be 7, 8, 10 new coaches in this league.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's partly because they don't know who they are. It's partly because of the culture. That's why I wrote the book Gridiron Genius, because, you know, Walsh told me in 84 we're only competing against 8 teams, and that was when there was 28 teams in the league. And today there's really only 8 teams you're competing. You really think you're competing against the Arizona Cardinals? They cut Terrell Suggs. Look at some of their moves they've made over the last 5 years. You really think you're competing against them for a title? I doubt it. You know, look at the Washington Redskins. You think you're competing against Dan Snyder for a title? I doubt it. You think you're competing against what the Giants are doing? I mean, they used to be the great New York powerful Giants. Wellington Mara running the team. You know, they were 31 and they've had 31 wins the last 5 years going into this season. They have two. They've had 33 wins in 6 years. You think you're competing against them? I think it's an organizational issue. I think it goes back to everybody wants to be like the Patriots, if they don't understand what the Patriots do. I think the organizational methodology that goes into these places is not correct, and I think that that's part of the biggest issue. So you can fire the coach. You know, we killed Bin Laden. We didn't stop terrorism. You can fire the coach. You're not going to stop losing. Jerry can hire another coach in Dallas. He's 11 games over 500 in this century. So does that mean it's going to change? No, of course not. It's not going to change because he's not going to fire himself. You have to stop doing the way you've been doing business to get different results. And you can keep firing these coaches and keep changing and all that. But the reality, it's not going to change until you change, until the ownership changes, until the team changes. And teams are reluctant to do that because people want to be involved in football. People want to be like Bill Belichick. People want to be like Al Davis. So they want to be involved. Yet they don't want any. They don't want any of the decision making. They just want the credit.
Hey, so how do you think? Last one for me, Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. How do you think he's done so far this year?
You know, I mean, look, I think the Bengals. I love the Brown family. They're one of the historic families of this era. I mean, I have an autographed book from Paul Brown Sr. that I cherish, and Mike Brown, I think, is truly a good human being and a good person. I just don't think that with Katie Blackburn, her husband Troy, I think organizationally they're a little bit stuck in time, and I think Zach is probably in over his head, and he's probably going to be a better coach next year than he was this year. I think it's going to take him some time to figure it out. Look, there's no school you go to become a head NFL coach. It's a harder job to get than a United States senator. And yet we give jobs to people who are really not qualified or trained to do those jobs. And that's an issue.
Mike, can anybody beat the Ravens in the AFC?
Yeah, I mean, look, if Edelman doesn't fumble, the Patriots are moving the ball down the field. Now, I don't know if anybody's come up with a true solution for what Lamar can do. And the way he threw the football last night, that's problematic, especially if you can't cover those receivers one-on-one. And I think when you play small like the Jets tried to and you put your nickel out there, they'll run it right on your edges. You know, you can talk. I mean, they didn't talk about it last night, but it's really more of a matchup game than it is just he's running the ball. If you're small on the edge and you want to set the edge, but if you're not big enough to set it or you're not powerful enough to set it and he starts coming around the corner, good luck.
All right, it's Mike Lombardi. Mike, listen, appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, you got it. Mike Lombardi. All right, when we come back, more here on the Patriots. I also want to dive into some Boston Red Sox. I don't know if I need to is this like a Luke Calls it type moment?
I'm down with this.
Yeah, I want to dive into that. Dan Shaughnessy wrote a piece about the Red Sox offseason, how it could be the worst offseason ever. Is that what he said, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get into that as well.
Listen to Tom Brady's interview anytime on the radio.com app. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Oh, we're trending.
Oh, we are trending now on WEI and WEI.com. Brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. 99 Restaurant gift cards. They're the perfect fit. And for every $25 you purchase, you can receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. The 99 Restaurant, always the real deal. Well, the Celtics, they lost last night to the 76ers, 115-109 at the Garden. Joel Embiid, he was just too much, 38 points, 13 boards. Gordon Hayward, he actually played
this
game after leaving that last game, put up 19 points, but it wasn't enough. The Bruins, well, they suffered their fifth loss in a row. After falling to the Lightning 3-2, former Bruin Tim Thomas, he opened up. But his reason for retiring from the NHL and pretty much be going in hiding for the last couple of years, saying a concussion he sustained during his career caused him to leave the game. As for the Patriots, Isaiah Wynn was back on the practice field, which is a good sign for this weekend. And that's what's trending now on WEI, WEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, listen, I didn't read this, so I want to let you guys know. Who couldn't use some extra money this holiday season? Well, you may have money waiting for you to be claimed at findmassmoney.com and plug in your name and hometown and find out instantly if you're on the list. Findmassmoney.com. Fast, easy, and free.
Free. That's free. Money well spent.
Spent who? That is messed up.
That is. All right, back here at OMF, Ordway's out, so it's just Maloney and Fourier. Hit a lot of the Sox, Celts and Patriots early on. I wanted to hit on the Sox because Dan Shaughnessy wrote an article. Why this could be the worst Red Sox offseason ever.
And you can really narrow down this article, you know, just really narrow it down pretty quickly. It's really about one thing.
I get it. Okay, go ahead, because I got some
it's
stuff.
Money. Hey, they're not going to spend a lot of money. It's going to be boring because they don't want to spend a lot of money. And other teams are. Their biggest rival is. But it's not like you haven't. But this summer, this offseason, you're not spending money. You want to somehow tighten your belt, right, and kind of regroup. Yeah. So you hire a young guy who doesn't spend money, has a history of saving money, and you don't like that.
Yeah, right now the Red Sox are at 219. Okay, they want to get to 208. If they get to 208, you know what that would put them in baseball as far as salaries go?
Hold on, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm going to guess top five.
How about top two or three? I mean, the Yankees.
This is good.
You know, because of Garrett Cole, they're gonna be touching the big one, right? Whatever. But the Astros are talking about trading Correa. The Astros, who had this window of winning, right? This great Astro team, just let Garrett Cole walk out the door. Wasn't even in the mix, and now they're talking about trading Correa. You know, the Yankees 3 years ago, what they did as far as trading away pieces. The Dodgers, what they've done since Friedman, their payroll is over 300. They got that thing under 200. And going into this year, I think it's 173 as of right now or something. So they've had prospects. They've built it a different way. It happens. Right now is the Yankees' time. I'm not going to lie to you. The next 3 years is their time. Where they are in 4 years, 5 years, when Torres is up and Judge is up and Severino is up and Sanchez is up, when LeMahieu is up after this year, I don't know where they'll be. Because the Astros had their run. Verlander and Cole. Cole's gone. Thinking about trading Correa. Next year when, Springer leaves, what are they? This is the way it works. So we're going to sit there and say, you know, they're cheap. I don't want to hear it. They'll have the third highest payroll in probably baseball. Have they spent it properly the last few years? No. Did they win a World Series? Yes. Something that I bet you the Dodgers wish they did. Something that the Yankees are really going to hope that they can do in the next couple of years. I get it. I mean, I get it. You know, you had your run. It's just like a surprise to everybody. Shaughnessy was like one of the first ones to write articles about how this team has a window of 2 or 3 years and they better win. So what do? They win. They win 108 games.
Enough.
And they win a
Not
World
enough.
Series.
Not enough.
But now this is like a shock. They got a 2 or 3 year window. I mean, some of these guys are coming up. You're not going to be able to keep them all. So what do? They win a World Series. So here we are, hitting the reset button, because that's exactly what they're doing.
See, and that's what I was kind of talking to you about.
I can't believe they're doing it. You've been predicting it for years.
That was my issue with you yesterday when you start comparing the sports and the reaction. When I say don't boo, that nobody has any business booing the Patriots at any point in time, maybe later in life. Just because when Brady leaves and Bill leaves, okay, you'll be the Dallas Cowboys is who you'll be. You'll be the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe you're the Buffalo Bills. 20 years of just average play all the time, no playoff appearances. And this is what it is with the Red Sox. It's this built-in, opinionated, if you're not spending a bunch of money, you're not doing the right thing. Well, I mean, eventually it's got to stop, right? I mean, eventually you have to kind of reassess and start over again. I didn't make – this article was kind of funny to me because it's all based on money. It's all based on everybody else is spending money and you aren't. And they're getting better. And, hell, the Yankees, they could have won it last year. Maybe some people say they should have won it last year.
Imagine being a Yankee fan at the trade deadline and your glaring need is starting pitching. And you don't do anything. So it's like you had your opportunity last year to win. You had a great team. You didn't do enough. It's now their time is the point. You know, Yankee fans, you're sitting there saying, man, they got David Price. The Red Sox just signed David Price, and they traded for Chris Sale. Then they just signed J.D. Martinez. Look what they're doing. They put themselves in a position to do it. Yankees are in that position now. Houston's cutting back. The Dodgers can't seem to get anybody. They can't get Garrett Cole. They can't get Rendon. So it's like this is just the way it is. They're going to hit a reset. They're going to trade David Price. That's why they probably signed Martin Perez, the lefty, to kind of make up for the lefty in the rotation that they're going to lose. And they're not going to be better for it. You know, I don't really know if it's going to make a difference because I don't think Price is going to stay healthy enough for you to really compete because you need he and Sale. I don't think either one of them are going to. So you hit the reset.
Wow.
Move on from Evaldi if you can. Trade Jackie Bradley if you can and move on from Mookie Betts. Sorry.
Well, as far as maybe he's right about the offseason. No big name signings. Okay, fine. But it could also be one of the longest years because if that's what you're saying is correct, it's not like they're going to have a bad team. But
you win more games than they had last year.
You
last
think
year
win
was
more
awful.
Games.
This is sort of like a Celtics thing where maybe you take a step back in talent and you have a deeper roster. Chaim Bloom was brought here to counter the Dave Dombrowski kind of stars and scrubs. I saw someone use that phrase. Maybe I like that one because that's what he was.
There was
I
want no to
have
class.
Six, seven stars and then everybody else, whatever. He's coming here and saying, no. We need more depth. You know, and not that he's going to build Tampa. He's going to build Tampa with the money to put an ace or two on top of that rotation, with the money to put a three or four hole hitter, you know, in the middle of that lineup. That's what was wrong with Tampa. They didn't have the cash to go out and sign a three or four hole hitter, or two of them.
Well,
they had a good lineup, but they were missing that big bopper in the middle. Now he's got the money to do it. He's building depth on a roster that Dave Dombrowski didn't know anything about.
Yeah, and it's more of a Patriot philosophy than it is a Red Sox philosophy.
Yeah.
Listen, stars and scrubs. So there's no middle class.
No, and Alex got into the whole thing with Mookie Betts. And Dan was all upset about trading Mookie Betts. And he got into it and says, and this is the thing. The Red Sox, if they go over the threshold and they lose Mookie Betts after the year, they're going to get a pick in the fifth round for Mookie Betts walking. A fifth round pick. And, oh, by the way, because you're over this year, when you go to try to bring in a guy like Springer to replace Mookie in the offseason, because you're over, now you got to give up a second, a fifth, and lose $1 million in international signing bonus money to sign George Springer. So by holding on to Mookie, you're losing. You're not making 2021 better. You're hurting your future. You're hurting your draft picks. You're not allowed to sign as many good players in the international signing bonus. So Alex does a good job explaining it. And Dan Shaughnessy says, thanks, Alex. Anyone out there still following? Me neither. It's not like the Red Sox and Chaim Bloom's fault that Dan Shaughnessy can't figure that out. That he see Bloom's not here to have everybody love everything he does. if you're a GM, you love everything you do. Dave Dombrowski tried to do that, and people still bitched about giving up the minor league prospects. He's building a team because he looks at it differently, and it's something we're not used to. I don't think this team's going to win this year, but I think they need to clean house so they have a better chance of winning in 2021, because in baseball, it can happen that quick. This isn't basketball. You know, this isn't, you know, football. If you lose your quarterback, how the hell do you rebuild a championship? This is baseball. You take 1 year of a reset. Next offseason, you dive into free agency. Now that you've reset, you can do it for the next few years. You lock up some of your players, and you've got enough talent to compete. I don't understand. You know, it's just, again, I love them when they call him cheap, and they're going to have the third highest payroll probably in baseball if they get the 205. How's that work?
Because you haven't signed anyone big in the last, what, 3 years? What was Sales? Well, no, Sale redid
JD?
His deal. JD, yeah. And Sale redid his Evaldi. But I'm talking like David Price-esque. That was the one where you're like, holy crap, they're really going to go all in on this guy. I think that's a feeling of, okay, we're doing something significant.
Yeah. I don't know where they're headed. I have no clue, but I feel like it's very impatient mindset to sit there right now and think that Dave Dombrowski did not empty the farm. And Dave Dombrowski did not go for it. And he did not give out crazy money to keep this team where they were. And that's the reason why he lost his job. Because there's an end in sight. And I think it's this year. And then we'll see if this kid can come in here and sort of rebuild it. Because right now, you know, I don't see them competing. But this outcry of, like, I can't believe they're going to cut payroll. Well, they have to.
I don't want to honor that.
They'll be even worse if they don't to get rid of some of these guys. Because I tell you what, if they don't get rid of David Price this offseason and he gets hurt again, you'll be the first one to say they held on to him too long. If they let Mookie Betts walk and they get a fifth rounder in return, you'll be the first one to tell them they should have traded him in the offseason. That's just the way it works. All right, I'm going to 617-779-7937.
Why don't you take this one guy so we can get rid of him?
All right, let's go to Tom in the car. Tom, go ahead, pal.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Tom.
I'm a big fan of the MFers. I say, ship Ordway off with Mutt that night.
No, come on. Be back Monday.
All right. Yeah, but no, I'm on board with everything you're saying, Lou. You know, the Red Sox did exactly what they should have done. And Dombrowski did what he should have done, and now it's time to move on from him because there's no farm system. So, you know, it's time to replenish.
Yeah.
My question was, you know, for the Yankees, you know, they did what they were supposed to do with kind of rebuilding their farm system, and they're all up now. And is Gerrit Cole the guy to put him over? And for the next 5 years, over under for 1.5 championships, you think it's over or under 1.5 for the next 5 years for the Yanks?
I don't know. They'll win one.
Maybe just one.
Maybe they'll win two. I don't know. If I told you Houston Astros 3 years ago, I mean, to me, I feel like this year they'll still be good, but this might be it for them too. I mean, how about Cleveland Indians? How about the Chicago Cubs? Remember that farm system when they won with the great job that Theo did? That organization's in trouble. Their farm system's worse than yours. Teams have 3, 4, 5 year windows, and they try to rebuild it again. But apparently here, it's unacceptable, which is strange.
Well, like you said, it's impatience, and I think that, you know, the true Red Sox fans understand that it's got to be a lull for a little bit now until they, you know, Chaim Bloom does his job and the farm system gets, you know, back and going again.
Yeah. And I don't know. We'll see how long it goes. I know in baseball, though, you can turn around. I don't think too many people going in 2013 that they could win. I'm not predicting a winning season this year as far as championship goes, but we'll see. They got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. All right, 617-779-7937. The MFers will be back at it after this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Can this offense make you feel better about them in the next 3 weeks going into the postseason?
Well, I think certainly they've got a lot of room for improvement. I mean, we've got to get better in the offensive line. I mean, you know, that was probably one of the worst offensive line performances I've seen by the Patriots in quite some time. And Isaiah Wynn probably played his worst game as a Patriot. So there's a lot of work to be done with that offensive line. I think that's really where it starts. I mean, when you can't even get time to throw the football against at home, it's concerning.
That was Mike Lombardi we talked to at the top of the hour. Mentioned the offensive line. You know, we thought a few weeks back Isaiah Wynn coming back would fix everything.
Yeah, he'd be our savior. He'd fix everything because Newhouse was so pathetically bad.
So it was okay. I'll ask you this: as bad as Isaiah Wynn was, and you said he was bad in this game as well, right?
Yeah.
Was he better than Newhouse?
Man, he.
You had to pause.
Yeah, he was pretty crappy. I mean, it was. I mean, how many games has he played in now? Was it his fourth or fifth game or something like that? Oh, he's less than...
Well, he played a game and a half, and then he's come back now for two,
yeah.
I believe.
No, it was pretty freaking bad. He was getting flat-out abused. Like, embarrassing. Like stuff you just don't... You want to look away. It was so bad. But he also, all those... You know, he said Frank Clark had one of his best games. I think Isaiah Wynn had something to do with it. He wasn't ready. You know, this guy still is basically a baby. He's a rookie. I know he's been here 2 years. This is his second year, but he doesn't have any valuable reps as a rookie. He missed all of last year, and now he's being thrown in the fire, as you said earlier, in some major important games where he has to be good, and he's not. So, his challenges will be easier this week, I would assume.
Well, the good news is he's back at practice today, right? Yesterday he had the eye issue. We're like, oh, Jesus, are you going to get a full game in Newhouse? Now it's Cincinnati. But again, I think it's very important that nobody, and I mean nobody, misses in these next three games. Like any of them. They got to figure it out, right? I mean, you can't, you don't want to have anybody miss a game or two because it seems like we're back here at week one, doesn't it? As far as like, it's not going to look pretty for a while, but they'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, and that's what everyone says. They'll figure it out. I don't think they're going to figure it out. And what does figuring it out look like? If figuring it out can just look, I guess, average, I'm okay. Like what they do now is terrible. They don't do anything. They're terrible. So if you could just give me average to slightly above average, which I think is a stretch, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with everything else. But they just can't be completely just terrible because the last two defense, Kansas City and Houston, just flat out push them around, and they rank in the bottom 25 in total defense. Rush, run defense, scoring defense, you name it, they get pushed around.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer, you know, when you talk about, they're going up against a bad running defense. Well, they're going up against a good running defense. I think there are some defenses that obviously are so good to stop the run that even a good team that can run the ball might struggle a little bit. But if you're a team that can run the football well, then no matter who you go against, you should be able to run the football well. If you're a team that can't run the football, like this Patriots team, I don't care if it's the worst rushing defense in the league, you still can't do it well. You know, and for example would be like, you know, if you, I don't know, pick a good team with like a backup running back comes in a game and you're like, wow, he still ran the ball well. Yeah, because their offensive line, their whole scheme, that's what they do, right? Might not be the most talented running back, the backup guy, but he went in there and he gave you a good game where normally you'd sit there and say, huh, wow. You know, I thought they would struggle without the starter. The Patriots, I don't care if you go up against a bad rush defense, and they have. They can't. Or a bad defense overall, and they have. They can't.
Yeah, I believe, you know, Teddy said it the other day. It's just, they're not going to fix it. They're not fixing any of these issues.
So you don't think they put up 30 points this week?
No, but I think this is where it's going to be confusing to people. I do think they'll put up 30 points against Cincinnati.
Against this team.
I do. I do think they will. I know you can sit there and read me off a close game here, close game there. They still won one game. And the entire year they've been able to win one game. I think this is a 100% get back on track game for the New England Patriots.
Well, Mike Reese talked about that 30 point total this morning on Get Up and this offense overall.
Greeny, if they're held under 30 points Sunday against the Bengals, it'll be the seventh straight game for them that that happens. And according to our great ESPN stats and information department, that would match the longest streak in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era going back to 2005. But I will add this. I walked out of the locker room with Tom Brady a couple days ago, and Greeny, he's staying upbeat despite these struggles.
Of course, he has no choice but to be positive. He sees what happens when he's negative,
but
he's bummed out.
You had some stats early about them in the red zone.
Yeah, because when I saw that this morning, I was like, so wow, that kind of stands out because that doesn't happen very often. So how bad are they really, or why can't they score? What is the reason they can't score? Now I know they can move the football, but what happens when they actually get inside the red zone, get inside the 10? The problem is they don't finish. So here's the proof of it. All right. So the Pats have the second most red zone attempts per game in the NFL right now. The second most attempts. Number one is Baltimore. Go figure, right? You knew Baltimore was going to be number one. But in the course of a game, they have the second most opportunities inside the red zone. Okay, so great. So you have all these opportunities, the second most in the NFL. What do you do with it when you get those opportunities? Well, they're 27th in the league when it comes to red zone scoring percentage. 48%. So they get down there a lot, which isn't a problem, and don't worry about how it happens, but they get down there a lot. But when they do get down there, they can't run the ball, they can't throw the ball, they can't do anything. And these are touchdowns, these aren't field goals. So the number, so they're 27th in the league.
Some of y'all football sucks.
Baltimore is at number two at 68%. So they get, not only does Baltimore get down there a lot, but they also finish the job a lot.
And
they're at number two.
You can see that when you watch them. I mean, if it's like, you know, last night, whatever it is, any game, first and goal from like the 5 or 7, they can score any way they want. Like, do they want to give Ingram 4 or 5 touchdowns in a game?
They could.
Do they want, you know, Jackson to throw 4 or 5? They have,
they will.
You know what I mean? Or do they want him to just fake the handoff to Ingram, which the touchdown would be there, just so he can roll out to the right and a race to the pylon? He can do that as well.
See, the thing is that, so a team, just to kind of throw another team in there, so Tennessee is number one in the NFL in red zone scoring percentage. So when they get down there, they score, these are touchdowns again, they're not settling for field goals, touchdowns, at a 73% clip. Cincinnati is 31st. They're at 37%. But Tennessee, although they're number one at red zone scoring percentage, they're middle of the road when it comes to red zone attempts per game. So they're real efficient. When they get down there, they have everything you need. They're not as good between the 20s, but when they get down there, they have everything you need. Especially, we talked to Bill. They can run the ball. They got a power back and a shifty back. They got Deion Lewis. They got Henry. And then they have the ability of play action. And, oh, by the way, they have a quarterback that can run. So they have every single asset you need. The Patriots don't have that. So you ask me, is it going to look any better? Okay, are they going to be able to run the football better?
I don't think so.
Okay, so no. So are they going to be able to throw the ball better because the receivers have suddenly figured it out? No, that's a no again. And since they can't run it and they can't throw it, if you pair those two things together, there's this weird thing. It's called play action, where the quarterback acts like he's going to run. I'm going to fool you. And then he falls around and he throws it. Do you think they'll be able to do that? That's a no, too. Give me the buzzer. The fact is that the answer is no to all of the above.
Oh, by the way, Cincinnati's they can't do it. Second in the league defensively in the red zone. So, listen, I think they're going to win this game. I think they're going to win it ugly because I don't think this team is capable of winning the way they were earlier in the year against anybody. Although the defense could just shut them down, but Mixon's been running the ball better. That's sort of like their weakness a little bit. We'll see if they can stop the run. Fine. But offensively, I just think it's going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be an ugly win.
No, I think, and I also feel like there's this big psychological component into this where they've never proven that they can do it. So every time they get close to it, I think they play tight. I don't think they're loose. I think they're all tentative and scared of making mistakes, of jumping off sides or holding or running the wrong route or forcing the issue or running the route too quickly. To have the second most attempts per game inside the red zone and to be 27th in red zone scoring percentage?
Well,
what are you talking about?
No, that makes
getting
sense.
The ball, but even your defense is, and you can even break it down even further to find out how bad they really are.
Well,
you brought this up.
Yeah.
So how many opportunities inside the red zone is the defense giving you?
That's why they've been in the red zone so often.
I think it's probably 50-50, maybe if 60-40 defense offense.
And that's probably a high percentage from around the league. But when you sit there and say a team like has the second most opportunities in the red zone but can't get it in, you'd say, well, they're obviously moving the football. They're putting up a lot of yards in a game. They just, when they get to the red zone, they struggle. We've watched this team enough to know that's not the case with this team. They're not moving the football down the field. You know, the offense themselves might get themselves in the red zone once or twice or two or three times a game. The defense is also getting them in, especially early in the year. The defense is getting them in the red zone an awful lot or giving the ball at the 30, and they're getting 10, 15 yards in the red zone, right? They don't have to work all that much. So those numbers are skewed. The fact that they're in the red zone second more than anyone in the league, that's not a positive. Their offense is working. They can't score.
Yeah,
no.
Because what we want to know is...
No, their defense has been that good early on, and those numbers are skewed.
So we want to know how many points, how many opportunities inside the red zone did they create and generate on their own? They kick the ball off to start the game, second half, after a score. They kick it off to you. You get the ball at the 30, 25, whatever. They have one of the best starting points, too, in the NFL. Oh, the 33. So their average starting spot is the 33-yard line, best in the NFL. So they're the best in the NFL. So they're constantly have the least amount of yardage to gain out of all the teams in the NFL. They have the shortest distance to go. I mean, I don't know what that's how bad this offense is.
And see, that's
is.
Skewed too, because if you were to tell me that they have the best field position, then I would just blindly say, well, they must have a good kick return game or punt return. They're awful in both. Since Gunner went down. Gunner wasn't, the greatest punt returner in football. But it's, as you know, it's all fair catch and let the ball drop. The kick returns, if they do return it, Brandon Bolden's, I don't know if he's getting the ball out to the 25.
Yeah.
So as bad as all that is, that tells you, again, it's really been about the defense. Offense, and everybody knows that.
Yeah, so it's funny because... It's so crazy. So I was told you that the Tennessee Titans are 23rd when it comes to red zone attempts per game, and they're number one in red zone scoring percentage. To me, it's like it's so deceiving because they struggle to get there, but they just need to get there.
Well, look at the
and
best
they close
teams.
It out.
Tennessee, Derrick Henry's a monster this year.
Yeah,
Baltimore's second. We know what their running game is. Third is Minnesota. Dalvin Cook's got how many touchdowns? Fourth is Green Bay. How many touchdowns does Aaron Jones have? Fifth is Houston. So I was going to say every team's a really good running team is in their top five. Houston?
There's an outlier.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, those top four teams, they run the hell out of the
ball. But I asked Bill this maybe 3 weeks ago. So what makes a good red zone team? Your defense is giving you the ball. You're moving the ball on your own, but you just get stuck in the mud, and everybody knows that you're going to kick field goals. Because nobody can get open. Because we're not threatened by you running the football. But you still only have one guy to go to, and that guy's double-teamed. So when you start thinking about the offense and what they need to do to score, flea flickers, double passes, fumble rooski, you name it, that's the only way they can generate points. And the way they scored last week, off a turnover, a fly sweep by Brandon Bolden getting to the edge. Sudden change. Surprised them. They weren't ready for it. They had never run it all year. Now that play's over. So how many more plays does Josh McDaniels have? How many more, special plays, we used to call them, does he have in his back pocket? The fact is, not a lot. And, oh, by the way, everybody's ready for it. So to your question, it's not going to change. They need a lot of luck.
You sure about that? I mean, you sure that it won't change? I want to ask you that actually when we come back. We'll do that. Plus, Tom Brady feeling pretty positive. Mikey Reese said he felt positive walking out of the locker room.
And we have proof of him feeling positive?
Feeling pretty positive, I believe, on Instagram. But I want to ask you that. I want to ask
you. He's staying upbeat despite these struggles.
But I also want to ask you, can these next three games change your opinion of this offense? We'll do that when OMF continues right after this.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.